Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Turn to your neighbor and tell them, get your hopes up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, verse 18 in the NIV reads, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. God is putting some parameters on what we have to do for him to receive us. You say, I thought he loved everybody. His love and his reception are two entirely different things. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, trust the process. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, trust the process. You may be seated. This is our final installment of sanctification, trust the process. We are a church that is growing. We are a church that is moving. We are a church that will use every method we can to reach the lost and to reach souls. And don't ever let the big screens and the lighting and the haze fool you that we are a New Testament church. In the Bible, Acts 28 was the last chapter of Acts, but really the last chapter of Acts is us. We are Acts 29. We have continued on what God has started in the New Testament church. And by any means necessary, we will reach with both hands forward into our communities, our generation, and beyond to bring people to the cross and to the realization that you need a Savior. His name is Jesus in your life. Not only for eternal life, but to get through this life. And so, no matter what you see in all of the changes that happen electronically and technologically, remember this, there is no substitute for sanctification. Doesn't matter if we're outside or inside, lights on, lights off. If you've been here a few years, you've known those thunderstorms that would roll through and Bishop would preach with a megaphone. Come on now. How many of you remember those Wednesday nights? Usually happens on a Wednesday night. I remember one time he had everybody turn on their camera phones, and we were the light. And so everything that you see, there is no substitution for sanctification. The process where believers and disciples and followers of Jesus Christ become more like Jesus Christ. Your goal in life, first and foremost, should not be to be the first person in your family to graduate college, to be the first millionaire or billionaire in your family. Those are lofty goals. I have respect for those goals. But your greatest goal every day is, I want to be more like Jesus when I go to sleep tonight than I was when I woke up this morning. I want to be a better husband that resembles God than I was this time last week or this time last year. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better believer. I want to be a better Christian. Sanctify, to make holy, to set apart as sacred, to consecrate. Leviticus 20 verse 7 says, consecrate yourselves. The sanctification process, church, is not a process that a pastor can make you go through. A mentor or accountability can't force sanctification in you or on you. The most we can do is encourage you to go through the process. But just like someone else can't fast for you, you have to fast. The same is in sanctification. Consecrate yourself, Leviticus 20 says. Sanctify also means to purify or free from sin. You know, there's some times in your life when you're going to miss the mark even after you've accepted Christ. I know I'm not the only one. Sometimes on 410, somebody's going to cut you off and you're going to lose it for a minute. Sometimes somebody in your life, at your job, maybe with the same last name that you have, is going to make you mad, and you're going to flesh out for those moments. And in those moments, we're able to come after that back to God and say, God, I am sorry for acting that way. Please forgive me. Let me do what I can, but God, cover me in forgiveness. Sanctify also, and I love this definition, to make productive or make conducive for a spiritual blessing. Meaning there are some things that God cannot do until we are sanctified. Check this out. Eternal life comes through Jesus and comes through faith and a prayer to him. When you confess who Jesus is, salvation comes to you. Salvation is eternal life. Jesus said, I've come to give you two things, eternal life and abundant life. I believe that a lot of abundant life doesn't happen until we are sanctified. So maybe some of the things you're praying for, you're not ready for because you haven't gone through the process to get them. You say, I don't know if that's true. Listen, if you've got to go through a process to get a driver's license so you can drive a car, what makes you think that God, whose system is not legalism and whose system is not natural, whose system is above all of that, and who are we to say, God, I don't think I should have to go through all of that to get that. Let me just encourage you, church, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to sacrifice, whatever you have to go through, it will all be worth it when God gives you what he promised you. It is not only worth the wait, it is worth the work that we put into it. Sanctification is a process, so we must trust the process. The two prayers of sanctification that we've covered in the last few weeks. Number one, God, remove everything from my life that is not from you or for me. We call that purging our life. God, remove everything from my life that is not from you or for me. Number two, God, remove me, and we'll get to this a little more tonight. God, remove me from everything and every place that is not from you or for me. Sometimes you've got to let the devil know one of us has to go. And if you're in my house, you have to go. But if I'm in your territory, I'm either going to take it for Jesus or I'm going to take a step back because this is not where God has destined me to be. In the sanctification process, we spent some time here last week, we must become unoffendable. Being offended is a sign of immaturity. If you say I'm offended, it tells everybody one thing about you. You are not as old as you thought you were. You are not as grown as you thought you were. Tyler's getting ready to move into his first rental house. And he messaged me the other morning, and he had one of Home Depot's carts full of electric, of socket plate covers and door handles for this house that he is making some. And he said, I had no idea that all that stuff cost that much. So I spent almost $1,000 on knobs for the cabinets, on doorknobs, and on plate covers. And I just texted back, isn't adulting so fun? And Mandy reminded him this week, hey, your bedroom is already my office. You can come crash if you need to, but it's going to be on the futon in my office. We're not taking it back to your bedroom. But it's a sign of maturity. Maturity has a lot of things that come with it that are not easy to do. And overlooking offense is tough to do. But as believers who are in the process of becoming more like God, you cannot offend me. You can try to offend me. You might mess me up for 10 seconds, but it is my duty as a believer who is sanctified, full of the Spirit of God, to say that's a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, and they're just taking it out on me. So what does the sanctification process look like? Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, where we left off last week. Rather, as servants of God, we commend, and this is the KJV, commend means we approve or we prove ourselves in every way. This is why most people start the sanctification process and it either stalls or they quit. Remember, it is easy to start anything. How many diets have all of us started? 10 times more than people in the room. How many times have we started to work out? How many books did we start that we didn't finish reading? Come on now. How many TV series did we start that we didn't finish? We have no problem starting anything. Our issue is carrying it on through. And I am here to tell you, we have the greatest power in our corner, because the Bible says when we are weak, he is made strong. When we are weak, he is made strong in us. And so I'm here to tell you, no matter where you are in the process, get your focus right and keep going no matter what. But this is what the sanctification process looks like. As servants of God, we prove ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in trouble, in hardships, in distresses, come on now, in beatings, in imprisonment. Oh, but where are the blessings and the favor and the bigger bank accounts? Where's the bigger house and where's the greater job and where's all of the favor that we love to preach? Oh, it's mixed in. But you got to go through something to get to something. Imprisonments and riots, hard work. Most of us have a problem with the four-letter word that starts with a W more than we do any other word. Work. W-O-R-K. Good things come to those who wait. Better things come to those who work. Sleepless nights. Hunger. Purity. Understanding. Patience. Kindness. In the Holy Spirit. In sincere love. In truthful speech. In the power of God. With weapons of righteousness. In the right hand and in the left. Through glory. Man, isn't it amazing how we start so bad, then it gets so good, and then we take a turn right back to the bad. Through dishonor. Through bad report. When someone dishonors you, the way you react, you are either staying committed to the process of sanctification or you are not. The Bible says this. You said, where does the Bible talk about how to handle dishonor? Jesus said, if they strike you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And so I'm here to tell you, whether that is metaphorically or figuratively, we've got to not react how the world reacts. And we've got to quit acting like the world acts. And whenever you react, you are on the defensive. But whenever you act, you are on the offensive. And the problem is most believers react instead of act. If we walk in love, we wouldn't have time to react in hate. So our reaction sometimes double crosses us, because if we would have acted right the first place, we would have never reacted the wrong way. In dishonor, bad report, and good report. Genuine yet regarded as imposters. Known yet regarded as unknown. Dying and yet we live on. What are we talking about? The sanctification process. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but they say close to 65% of the nation has now had COVID. That was rough stuff, y'all. Four of the worst days of my life. Took me weeks to get my energy back. I remember going out to the barn to feed horses, and what would take me usually 30 or 40 minutes, I would work 10 minutes, and then I'd go lay in my truck for 10 minutes. You say, well, did your faith waver? No, my faith didn't waver. My flesh was just messed up for a little bit. But that's part of the process of sanctification, that God, no matter what I'm going through, my faith is still in you. My foundation is still in you. My hope is still strong. Come on now. My joy, even though I might look a little worse for wear, my joy is still there. Even though I can't do what I used to do, my peace is still there. That I'm getting it all back, God, in the process of sanctification. Sometimes I'm batting 100, but sometimes it's all I can do to put one foot in front of the other. But I want to tell you, if you can't walk, if you can't walk, crawl, but make sure you do everything you can do to stay committed to the process. Dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet we are not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, sorrowful, crying tears but still worshiping. Remember, you can move while you weep. You can worship while you weep. You can go through some tremendous trials and still say, good, God bless, God has blessed me. God is good. You can still go through some tremendous things in your life that everybody else questions you. You've got the Job friends and the Job family that says, turn your back on God. He's forgotten about you. But you could also be like Job and David when they said, hey, even in the middle of all of this, I look up and I'm looking for my help because I know my help is on my way. And times of sorrow, I'm still rejoicing. That's someone who is sanctified. I've seen women after miscarriage, after miscarriage, after miscarriage, stand in an altar like this and still praise God. Praising God when their bodies had double-crossed them. Praising God when they didn't really have a reason in that moment to praise Him, but they praised Him anyway. Why? Because they are sanctified. And as long as you are sanctified, you are not going to stay down. I've seen people go through divorces, ugly separation. I've seen families split apart, and I've seen moms and dads, And husbands and wives struggle to this altar Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, going through hell, but still worshiping God. Why? Because they're sanctified. God, I'm more like you than I am the world. I've invested in you more than I've invested in the world, and I can't stop now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I can't stop now. Sorrowful but rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. What a powerful level of sanctification that is not just for the Apostle Paul. It is a call to every believer. That is why I believe, and I want every person in the room and online today, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to get filled with the Holy Ghost today, tonight before you leave. Why? Because even when your flesh says no, that Holy Spirit on the inside is not going to let you stop, is not going to let you quit. It's going to be stirred in you. I've met people in the aisle, Pastor, I don't know how I got here, but I made it. Oh, that's because you're sanctified. That's because you didn't let what you were going through dictate where you stopped and where you started with God. You just keep pressing forward. That's what the sanctification process looks like. And all of these last few sessions to get us to verse 14 of this chapter. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. King James says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Ever since I was a kid, we treat this passage as a dating passage on who to date and who not to date. But when you actually study the context of what Paul is saying, it has nothing to do with relationships of dating individuals. It has nothing to do with trying to find your mate, trying to find your wife, or trying to find your husband. It really comes down to one word: idolatry. The process of sanctification is becoming more like Jesus. Idolatry is becoming more like the world. This is what he says. And I wanted to preface that so you didn't get mad at the messenger. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? You know what he's saying here? What would you even talk about? We all know those heathens that you can't talk to about church. Check this out. You know the only thing you can talk to them about is Jesus. It's called witnessing. If they don't want to talk about that, you can't talk to them. Why? Because you have nothing in common. They're from another world, you're in another world. They live in another kingdom, you live in another kingdom. They've got another king, you've got another king. And so there's no way that you can go to the club with them. There's no way that you can go to dinner with them. Well, we're just catching up. But there's a transfer happening, and you cannot be unequally yoked. Why? Because it is severing your sanctification. It's severing your sanctification. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? I've got 5 minutes left. And what fellowship can light have with darkness? The quickest way, if you're taking notes, write this down. The quickest way to sever sanctification is to tie yourself to unbelievers. When you hear that word yoke, it is the yoke of oxen. It is literally an apparatus that ties two beasts of burden together, meaning this, that only the strongest one is going to be able to make decisions. And so you better make sure that who you're hanging out with, who you're spending time with, who you're vacationing with, who you're watching the NBA playoffs with, who you're meeting for coffee with, who you're spending your lunch hour with, you better make sure they're headed the same direction as you. Why? Because if they're not heading the same direction as you, they're either taking you where they're going, or neither of you are going to get to where you're going. Remember, there is no relationship with unbelievers. There is only witnessing and ministry. Remember this, I'm not friends with everybody. I minister to everybody, but I'm not friends with them. I minister to everybody, but I'm not in relationship with them. And the people that I'm in relationship with, they get ministered to. So I minister to everybody, but I'm not in relationship with everybody. Why? Because my sanctification is too important to me to have it dumbed down, diluted, and polluted by people that don't believe like me, that people that don't see like me. And I love what my friend David Crank said. He put it on social media the other day. He said, quit asking blind people to proofread your vision. Well, I can't get any help. That's because you're spending time with the wrong people. I had lunch today with two of my friends. We talked about Jesus. We talked about family. We talked about kingdom. We talked about business. We talked about LLCs. We talked about generational wealth. We talked about all those things. Why? Because we're all headed to the same place. But I want to help somebody today. Maybe you aren't where you're supposed to be because you're hanging out and yoked to people you were never supposed to do anything but minister to. So the quickest way to sever, sever means to cut off sanctification, is to tie yourself to unbelievers. The quickest way to suffocate sanctification. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? It's a scary thing. 2008, the day before Easter, Bishop and I were out at the ranch and we were catching horses on that Saturday right before Easter, and a mare mule kicked me, both back feet, about 1,100 pound animal, and broke 6 or 7 of my ribs. But I remember that pain afterwards was tough before those, and it felt like 2 minutes, and it was probably only 15 or 20 seconds. I was, I could not get a breath. It scared me. My life flashed before my eyes. This is it. Man, I thought I was going to go up in the rapture, and I'm gonna die in a pile of manure out in the pasture. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. I was suffocating. Some of us in 2022, you feel like you can't catch your breath. You feel like you are suffocating. You have said to God, I just need some space. You have turned to friends and peers and said, I just need a little space. Can I encourage you, if you need space, please do not leave the church if you need space. Double up on your church attendance. Can I ask you, please don't duck out early. Show up 10 minutes early and be the last one to leave the altar. Because if you need space, you need to get in the presence of God. You need to lean into Him. You need to rest in Christ and catch your breath. So the quickest way to sever sanctification is to tie yourself to unbelievers, but the quickest way to suffocate sanctification is to tie yourself to immature believers. It's going to get quiet for about 30 seconds, and that's all right. Just because they go to the same church as you doesn't mean they should be your best friend. Just because they worship in the altar next to you or serve in the same ministry as you doesn't mean that they're supposed to be your BFF and you can confide in them and you can have all this time. Why? Because there are different levels. Just like there are some people in this room that are 15 and there are some people in this room that are 85. That 85-year-old experience is different. I've got a 15-year-old daughter. She doesn't hang out with a lot of 85-year-olds. There's just nothing in common. And anytime she does hang out with someone who is a lot older than her, usually it is a mentoring or accountability session. It is not to go to Fiesta Texas and to hang out. Why? Because the 85-year-old, their Fiesta Texas days are behind them, but Jaden's are in front of her, and so there's really nothing in common. Can I encourage you, sometimes worse than unbelievers is attaching yourself to an immature believer that you think is on the same level you're on, and you find yourself 6 months later worse than before you met them, or maybe even before you showed up at church. Remember Jesus. He sees things that you don't see. I forgot who said it. He hears conversations that they said and had about you that you didn't hear. They see things in their life now and in their next that you don't see. And so when God removes you from them and God removes them from you, I know it might be tough and you might even shed a tear, but you will live long enough to say, thank you, God, for doing what you did, because I didn't know I was yoked to somebody that wasn't the real deal. I didn't know I was yoked. We're talking about sanctification now. We're talking about relationships now. Your sanctification is as only strong as not only your relationship to him, but your relationship to those of you that are closest, to those of them that are closest to you. I'm here to tell you, it's okay to only have Jesus as a friend for a season. It's okay to only have three or four people that you can call and talk and pour into and have pour into you. Look for quality and not quantity. Why? Because your sanctification is on the line. And if I look like Jesus, I want people that look like him to hang out with me. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, trust the process. I'm out of time. Verse 15. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there, here we go, between the temple of God and idols? Paul starts with a very simple relational declaration. Don't spend time with unbelievers. Because it's something that everybody that reads the Corinthian letter understands. When you started your new job, you found people that you didn't want to spend more than 2 seconds with at any given time. And you avoided them. But sometimes the devil is not so in your face with the bad people. But they can fake you out for a few months, few weeks, few years. He goes on, and now he's not only just talking about believers, now he's talking about the difference between Christ and Belial, believers and unbelievers. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Treat your life like you treat your house. You don't just let anybody in. You have people that you talk to at work that you would never let in your house. You go to lunch with people that you would never let stay at your house, let alone come in your house. Our house is just a building. Super Bowl parties, birthday parties, barbecue cookouts, great. But if you wouldn't come in, if you wouldn't let them in your house, why would you let them in your life? Come on, if they ain't talking Jesus, living Jesus, if they ain't for him, then they're definitely not for me. And I can love them, I can pray for them, I can minister to them, but I move on. Why? Because I'm in the sanctification process. Everybody doesn't have the same vision you have, the calling you have. Everybody is not going the same direction that you are going. And you need to get around people that have the same love for Jesus that you have. You need to do life with people that have the same vision that, hey, I'm going to reach the world. Hey, I'm going to go beyond our church walls. I'm going to do something great. He says, what do we have in common? And I'm closing with this. Therefore, verse 17, standing on our feet. So therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch any unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 17 says a very powerful phrase. It says, come out from among them. Come out from among them means separate yourself.